dear, your wellness, your family, and your faith. God bless you. And then also, in-person men's Bible study, that's coming up this Wednesday at 11 a.m. here. And then we have our midweek worship service that Julie and I put online. And this week it's got God's Got Plans for You. So God's got plans for you. We may not always know about His providence, but it's pretty amazing. And I have a wonderful story that I'll be sharing this week. Each week I share a real life story with those messages. Remember, our theme this year is real presence in promising places, but also in unexpected ways and places as well. Regarding Easter Monday, which is the 5th of April, we've got lots of people signed up, about 29 people already to read portions of Scripture. We're still looking for somebody, at least one person for Hebrews, and someone for the second half of the book of Acts. We've got a lot of people signed up already, and it's going to be in the newsletter of the Iowa Mission District, so there'll be lots of other congregations being given an opportunity, too, to participate in the reading of the New Testament in celebration of our Lord's resurrection. I believe those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. There are others in your bulletin that you can take note of as well. Let's prepare our hearts for worship. We worship as we live, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise for our opening hymn, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The word is near you.
On your lips and in your heart.
If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord,
and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Faith comes from what is heard.
And what is heard comes through the word of Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy Father, your Son's glory was revealed through humility and suffering. Keep us from the temptation to elevate ourselves, and instead, through the power of your Spirit, help us to humbly share ourselves with others, for it is only in dying to our selfishness and pride that we will find life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Congregation may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning with verse 31. Thus says the Lord, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 119, and we will read it responsively. How can a young man keep his way pure?
By guarding it according to your word.
With my whole heart I seek you.
Let me not wander from your commandments.
I have stored up your word in my heart,
that I might not sin against you.
Blessed are you, O Lord.
Teach me your statutes.
With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth.
In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches.
I will meditate on your precepts
and fix my eyes on your ways.
I will delight in your statutes.
I will not forget your word.
Our second lesson is from Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. For every priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he has heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus and his disciples were on the road, going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And Jesus said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. Earlier today, I posted a Forget Me Not, God Forgets Us Not, a children's message online. And so I encourage you, if you have the opportunity with children or grandchildren, to watch that as well. And then we're going to sing now verses 1 and 2 before our sermon, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus. Me there, your joy to know. In this life, we suffer with Jesus, but we live in the promise of the third day. Did you hear the words spoken in Jeremiah 31? They were proclaimed loud and clear. Thus says the Lord your God. God has a word for us, and that word is this: surely, for sure, the days are coming. The day of the Lord. The day of everlasting promise, the day of hope and mercy. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I am going to cut a new covenant, when I am going to make with you an everlasting promise. I will. Did you notice all of those promising words in our first reading for tonight? And we hear promising words in our gospel as well, when Jesus says, I will, you will. This is what's going to happen for sure, no doubt about it, bank on it. I will be your God, you will be my people, says the Lord. Now, the new covenant, the everlasting covenant, the promise of God's mercy and grace is this. I'm going to write it, he says, on your heart, internally. No longer will people have to say, know the Lord. They're all going to know the Lord. Kind of what Paul says in Philippians 2, right? That every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Even those who are condemned to the lake of fire will have to confess that Jesus is Lord. I will be your God, you will be my people, and get this, take it to the bank, because the Lord says, I will remember your iniquity no more, and I will forget and forgive your sins. What a word of promise. What an everlasting covenant that God gives. Not like the covenant, says the Lord, that your ancestors had, Mount Sinai, you know, written on two tablets of stone. My law, my promise, the agreement we had, says the Lord, that you broke, even though I was like a parent to you. I was like a husband to his wife, even though my wife was unfaithful, says the Lord. An everlasting promise for you, for me, that God will forget you not, that God will remember to forget and forgive our sins. Now, maybe you like those flowers, those forget-me-nots. Now, they're a good reminder. Maybe you prefer a calendar or a piece of paper in your pocket where you write down things. Maybe you have a planner. Maybe you use post-it notes. I'm not sure what it is that you do to trigger your memory, but I know that there are things that we don't want to forget. And I know that there are things that we should have forgotten a long time ago, but we keep holding on to. What is it when it comes to our remembering? What is it that God wants us to remember? What is it that the Lord wants us to forget permanently rather than enacting some kind of vengeance per se? How is your memory? If memory serves me, if memory serves me well or poorly, you probably have noticed that as we grow older, sometimes memory doesn't serve us so well. We sometimes call them senior moments. Or when I'm taking my cancer treatments and stuff like that, people have said, well, you know, there's this thing called cancer brain. Well, I think maybe they know what they're talking about, because I don't always remember everything like I used to remember things. So memory can be an issue for us, right? What is it that God wants us to remember well? On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus, the fulfillment of the new covenant, he took bread and wine. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. No longer is the covenant being sealed by animal blood, but now by the blood of Jesus. The new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this, Jesus says, in remembrance of me. And so we remember. We remember Jesus, the everlasting love of God for sinners, and that we are washed and immersed in daily baptism with the blood of Jesus. You see what God is doing? God is not writing it externally on tablets of stone and hoping that we'll figure it out as we go along. God is working on us from the inside out. He's putting his word, his law, his love, his forgiveness right in our heart where the blood is pumping, so that the blood pumps the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the love of Jesus throughout our whole body, through our bodies, and out into the world as good news for God's beloved. You see? A new covenant in my blood, Jesus says, the fulfillment of all that is promised by the Father for you and for me. Memory can be a fickle thing. We don't always remember well. I remember Pastor Los. Pastor Los said one time that he went to a family reunion and his favorite uncle was not there, was not able to make the trip, suffering from Alzheimer's. But his favorite uncle's, well, his daughter was there. And as a cousin, she said, Dad said to greet everyone, and he said, share this with them. Even though I don't remember you folks, I still have you in my heart. I still know you in my heart. I remember when my father-in-law passed away, and Julie and I were driving up to the Twin Cities. And you may recall that my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, her name is Diane, she's in memory care, doesn't remember things well. may not remember her own kids, right? By name or by face. And as we drove up to the cities, and as there was grief in our heart, but also the gratitude of God's grace, I was praying. And you know what I was praying for? That God would open up Diane's heart and mind, even if it was just for a short moment, so that she could cry and grieve after all those years of marriage, that she would know her loss. And she was able to. It wasn't for long, but she was able to experience that sadness and to know that grief and to know that loss. And I'm grateful for that. I remember when I was a pastor in Little Falls, and one of the people in the congregation, they moved to Little Falls, named Mildred, and her husband, Helmer Shelley. And Mildred had Alzheimer's, memory issues. Every time I'd see her, I'd say to Mildred, "Hey, it's Pastor Dave. You know, like your son's name, David." And when Helmer passed away, the funeral was there at the Lutheran Care Center in the chapel, and so I officiated at the funeral for Helmer. And when I came in, they had the visitation beforehand, I said to her son and grandson, they were funeral directors, I said, "How's your mother doing?" And they said, "Well, we took her out to lunch, and then she had some private time with the casket to kind of come to terms with losing Helmer." Well, she was up in the front by the casket where the visitation was in the chapel of the Lutheran home. So I said, "I'm going to go in and pay my respects. I said, I'm going to go see your mom. I'll be right back." So I went in there, and I walked up by the casket, and I gave Mildred a hug. And she says to me, "Did you know him?" And I said, "Well, not as well as I wished I had known him." I said, "But after 60 plus years of marriage," I said, "you know a lot about Helmer." And she said, "Helmer? This is my Helmer? Oh no!" And she started weeping uncontrollably. And I thought, what have I just done to this poor woman? But you know what God said to me in my heart? He said, "Thank you, David. Can you imagine how terrible it would be to be married to someone for 60 years, to have a great marriage and family, and not even to know that you had lost your beloved?" Well, we had the funeral service, you know, and then we had the refreshments. By the time we're doing the refreshments out there, Mildred was cocooned again, back into this shelter, if you will, where she didn't recognize or know. I mean, that's what happens with memory, right? Especially with Alzheimer's. But God gave her a few minutes to grieve, to remember. You see? To remember. That's what God is calling to our memory tonight. Through the prophet Jeremiah. We usually hear Jeremiah 31 each year on Reformation weekend, Reformation Sunday. But we get this text tonight. And with this text from Jeremiah, this word of promise to people that there's going to be a homecoming. All is not lost, because God is going to internalize his love and his forgiveness. God has decided not to give us what we deserve, or to have an agreement where if you do this, or but, there's no ands, ifs, or buts to it. God just simply throws himself out there and says, "This is what I will do for you. You have my word on it, and my word is Jesus, sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever, dying and rising with Jesus." In our gospel reading for tonight, we hear the third of three Passion predictions, which are also resurrection announcements. You recall those. The first one is in Mark 8. Jesus is in Philippi, way up north, and he says, "What's the word on the street? What are people saying about me? What do you say about me?" And Peter says, "You're the Christ." Jesus says, "Flesh and blood didn't give you this, but my Father in heaven. He gave you the faith. He gave you the confession." And then Jesus says, and this is what's going to happen. I'm going up to Jerusalem, and I'll be killed, crucified, but on the third day, raised. You remember what happened? Every time Jesus announces his death and resurrection, there's nothing but confusion on the part of the disciple. Peter takes him aside and starts to reprimand him, starts to rebuke him and says, this is not what's going to happen. Get that kind of stuff out of your mind, Jesus. We're going to go up there and things are going to be different now for Israel. We're going to get rid of those Romans, you know. And Jesus says, assume the position. You're the disciple here. You're supposed to be following me. Get behind me, Satan. Your mind is on the things of the evil one, not of the Father's will. Well, then we come to Mark chapter 9. And Jesus is on the road to Capernaum. And they get to Capernaum and he says, you guys were having quite of an interesting conversation on the road. What were you talking about? He already knew. They were talking about greatness, about who's the big cheese, who's the really great one, and what does it mean to be first? So Jesus did a children's sermon. You remember that? He did a children's sermon. He put a child in the midst of him and said, you want to know about greatness? You're looking at it right now. Become like a child. Wow. And then we get to our gospel for tonight, the third passion prediction. And now it says that Jesus has moved from Philippi to Capernaum, Sea of Galilee. Now he's on the road down to Jerusalem. They're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man, Jesus says, is going to be exalted, enthroned, crucified, crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. And as they're going up, it says that Jesus is going ahead of them. Where I am, there will my servant be also, Jesus says. He always leads the way. He leads the way to our death and dying. He leads the way to our rising and our eternity. Always leading the way. And he's speaking plainly about the mockery and the shame that he will endure, that death and the resurrection the third day. And then in Capernaum, it's James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. And they come up to Jesus and they say, Lord, we've got a favor. I mean, we were, you know, kind of some of the first ones. We gave up a lot, right? The fishing, the lucrative family business, you know, all this stuff. And so we've got a favor to ask you. In your glory, you see, they must be sensing that there's some glory coming. In your glory, there's always going to be a couple of seats of honor. You know, one on your left, one on your right. And there's two of us and there's two seats. Do we need to spell it out? Can I get one? Can my brother have one? Can I get one? Can my brother have one? And Jesus looks at the two boys, I mean, kind of these young men, you know, and right square in the eye, and he says, you don't know what you're asking for. You really want to share the glory? You want to sit in those seats? Here's what it will mean. Are you able to drink my cup? Are you able to be baptized with my baptism? Can you see the picture? Can you see these guys right there with Jesus? And meanwhile, they're in Capernaum, they're in a house, and there's the other 10 within, you know, ears distance. And you know what they said? I know you're thinking Norwegian. Yeah, sure, you betcha. No, they just said, we are able. And Jesus says, okay, you will drink my cup. You will be baptized with my baptism. But to sit in the seats of honor is up to the Father. The Heavenly Father assigns seats. In fact, you and I already know that those two seats of glory have been spoken for. A thief on the right and a thief on the left when Jesus is lifted up on the cross. you and I are able by the grace of God to daily share the baptism of Jesus and to daily drink the cup. The New Testament in my blood, Jesus says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, sealed not with animal sacrifices, the first covenant on Sinai, but sealed instead with the blood of Jesus, in which we are daily washed through the sacrament of dying and rising called baptism. Remember. What is it that God wants us to remember? Well, I will remember your iniquity no more. And I will forget your sins, says the Lord. Bank on it. I read a story this past week. It took place October 2nd, 2006. But in 2018 and in 2020, they revisited this story. You know, I like it when they do that because then you get to catch up. You get to say, well, what's the rest of the story or what's been happening over the last 15 years? So let me tell you what happened. October 2nd, 2006. And it's a story of a man named Eric Fitzgerald and another man named Matthew Swatswet. Matthew had just come off of working a 24-hour shift at the fire department as an EMT. It had been a busy day, and he got a total of 25 minutes of sleep in that 24 hours. Exhausted, driving home, near his house, and you probably guessed, he nodded off. Only for about 3 or 4 seconds. And then he says, I heard the noise that I'll never forget, a screeching, panicking sound, and when my eyes opened, I had smashed into another car. The other car was being driven by Eric's wife, June, 30 years old. She had a 19-month-old little girl named Faith in the car with her, and she was 7 months pregnant with the life of a son in her womb. Now, they were taken to the hospital, and Matthew was fine, but word was brought to Eric, who was serving as a youth pastor at that point, that his wife had died and so had the 7-month-old child in the womb. Faith had survived in her car seat. And then word was brought to Matthew, and Matthew said, I'm supposed to be an EMT. I'm supposed to be saving lives. And now I've just taken 2 lives. A mother and the child in her womb. What do you do in a tragedy like that, huh? I mean, it wasn't like that Matthew was a super bad person. He just worked 24 hours, didn't get sleep, nodded off, and a terrible tragedy happened to an amazing family where the husband was serving as a pastor in a church and had lost his wife, an unborn child in the womb, and here's his 19-month-old little girl, Faith. He walks into the room where she's at in the hospital, and she crawls into his lap, and she falls asleep in her daddy's arms. He realized there is no answer. And then, as they tell this story, to Hoda Kotb, you know, on the Today Show, 2018, 2020, and stuff, here's what you hear. You hear this pastor, Eric, who says, you know, I've been preaching about forgiveness for a long time. And this is where the rubber hits the road. Jesus says, when we pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive. Do I really want to see more pain and suffering? Do I want to see another life wasted? Eventually, Eric says to Matthew, don't let this one event define your whole life. There was a girl in the youth group who said, we should pray for Matthew. He must be going through a terrible time right now. 19, 20 years old is all he was as an EMT. And Pastor Eric said, you're right, we should. Pastor Eric said, I came to realize that every tragedy and crisis is an opportunity for either extending grace or for looking for payback and vengeance. And so after a two-year process and the verdict was handed down, it was Pastor Eric who interceded and said, I'm asking the court to please forgive this young man as we are forgiving him. He ended up getting community service, Matthew did, and a fine. It could have been a felony. Since that time, here's what happened. You know, there was no communication during the investigation and trial that took place for 2 years. And then at the end of the 2 years time period, when the verdict and stuff had been canceled, had been pronounced, then Matthew was in a Publix store, grocery store, picking up a card. He wanted to communicate his deep sorrow and to simply say that there was no way that he could ever make amends for this. And as he's coming out and going toward his car, guess who's coming in another vehicle? Pastor Eric. And right there in the parking lot of that grocery store, these two men meet, and the first word out of Pastor Eric's mouth is this: Matthew, I have already forgiven you from my heart. Matthew will tell you that he still has lots of anxiety, and that even though he's been forgiven by Eric and the family, he still carries and harbors a lot of grief. He's gone through a lot of counseling. These two men have become brothers in the Lord. They spent a lot of time together the last 15 years. It's unbelievable the forgiving spirit of Christ that's present in this relationship, only by the grace of God. Forgive our sins, we sing, as we forgive. You taught us, Lord, to pray, but you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say. You see, since that time, Matthew has married, and he and his wife, a baby, a little boy, the due date, February 18th, which happens to be Faith's birthday. You know that little 19-month-old who's now 15 years old? Who says, he didn't mean to do this. He's a good man. It was just a bad thing that happened in a split second one day. You see, they've become a family. Faith, living up to her name, giving the absolution that her father has already given, and embracing someone who caused the death of her mother and little brother in the womb with the forgiveness of Jesus. You see what it means to drink the cup of Jesus? What it means to be daily baptized into his dying and rising? There's nothing cheap about it. It's extravagant, it's expensive, it's costly. That's why we call it grace. But what's the alternative? What's the alternative to grace? What's the alternative to forgiveness? It was Pastor Eric who said, you know why we forgive, don't you? It's not for the other person. It's to keep us out of hell. We're the ones that benefit the most when we forgive others with the forgiving love of Jesus Christ. Surely the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new promise with the house of Israel, with the house of Jacob, with all people. An everlasting covenant of love and forgiveness. Because God chooses. God chooses you, and God chooses to remember our sin no more. To forget all of our iniquities. I will put my word, Jesus, who seals it with his blood, in your heart, so that by heart you will know the Lord, and that by heart you will forgive as you have been forgiven. Costly, extravagant grace. And so we walk behind Jesus on our way to Jerusalem, sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. We walk behind him because where he is, there shall his servant be also. Surely the days are coming, says the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together verses 3 and 4 of our hymn of the day, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus. We rise as we are able.
Let us ever die with Jesus, as by death he conquered death. He will free us from destruction, give to us immortal breath.
Let us mortify all passion that would lead us into sin. Then by grace we all live in, until fruits of his creation. Jesus, unto you I die, and to live with you am I. Let us also live with Jesus. He has risen from the dead, that to life we may awaken. Jesus, since you are our head, we are your own living members. Where you live, there we shall be. In your presence constantly, living there with you forever. Jesus, if by faithful thee, life eternal grant to me.
We continue with our confession. In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And as you share God's peace, do it from the heart and do it in a safe way during the days of COVID-19. Congregation, may be seated. We continue with our prayers.
Let us humbly beseech God for his mercy upon the church, the world, and one another. Father, give us a new heart. Take away our heart of stone. Give us the only heart that can beat in us forever, the heart of your dear Son, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Put a new and right heart within your church. Make it cling in perfect faith to Jesus and do your will. Cleanse it from wrongful teaching and shameful deeds. By the power of your Holy Spirit, make it shine with your Son's forgiveness, compassion, and mercy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Put a new and faithful heart in your people when they are persecuted for Jesus' sake. Give them the joy of knowing that they indeed drink with Jesus from his cup. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Put a new and joyful heart within this congregation. By the power of your Holy Spirit, unite us to Jesus' death and rising. Cause us to bear much fruit in his name, and use us to draw others to his cross. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Put a new and trustful heart into all who cry to you for help, especially those we name.
Gracious Father, we pray for your healing presence, for Steve Christensen, for Carolyn Stephenson, for Jenny Brown, Julie Blanchard, Karen Peterson, Samia Nelson, Gail Jepson, Nancy Webster, Amy Cooper, Keith Hammerbeck, McKenna Studer, Brenda Clary, Barbara Stephenson, Kelly Stoyles, Dan Berklin, and all those that we name before you.
Give them the joy of your saving help, and give to all who care for them the comfort and guidance of your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For these things and for whatever else is needful, dear Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We rise for our benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our closing hymn, In Christ Alone.
Christ alone, my hope is found.
our Lenten dismissal. Repent and believe in the gospel.
Thanks be to God.